Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
One of the most controversial bills introduced this session is a plan by three Senate leaders to slash income taxes again in North Carolina. That would cost the state more than $1 billion at a time when lawmakers are already struggling to find money to give teachers a raise and fund increased enrollment at public schools. Alexandra Sirota with the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center joins us now to talk about it. Alexandra, thanks for being back with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's talk about what's happening in the budget and tax world. I guess the big news is that some Senate leaders actually have a plan to cut income taxes by more than $1 billion a year. What was your reaction when you first heard that?
Well, I think it's pretty surprising given what we know about the already costly tax plan that was passed in 2013 that policymakers would pursue more tax cuts that are only going to serve to really grow our budget shortfall and not our economy. We know the evidence is pretty clear. Income tax cuts aren't what our economy needs right now.
Senator Bob Rucho said when he was asked about how would you pay for it, he said that's not the issue, and then said later a lot of this will be made up with growth in the economy and additional tax revenues in other places. What do you make of that argument?
Well, we've heard that line before, and it's never really come to fruition, the idea that cutting taxes will actually get you more revenue. That's not going to happen. We know from many of the states most recently who have cut taxes, they're facing very significant budget shortfalls. Kansas is a perfect example. And we know that what this plan in particular does is take any projected revenue growth that we know will happen over the next 2 years and drives that into income tax cuts. That's not the path that North Carolina should be taking right now. Any revenue growth that results from the economy should be driven back into investing in public education, our public services that really are the underpinnings of a strong economy.
We can't go into a million specifics, but for folks who are listening, what is the implication of taking another billion to $1.4 billion out of the budget? I mean, how would folks feel that? What would happen?
Well, I think it would be quite significant. I mean, we've already lost about $1 billion annually as a result of the 2013 tax plan. Another $1.2 billion on top of that is equivalent to a pretty sizable chunk of the state budget, almost 10%. What you're going to be seeing is really no ability to keep up with the needs in our communities. Public education would not see dollars for enrollment growth. Basically, spending would be locked in at current levels where we know classrooms aren't getting the textbooks, the teacher's assistants, the supports that they need. We know that many programs and services across the state are really struggling to continue to serve the community in the ways that they have in the past when they did have adequate revenue.
Someone suggested that one of the points of this tax cut might not be to pass it, although I think I'm sure some of the senators who are sponsoring it would like to pass it, but that it sort of changes the debate a little bit, and we're talking about whether or not we should cut taxes again instead of the impact of the tax cuts that we've already had and how they are hurting the economy and the state budget.
There are some very real impacts of the 2013 tax plan, both on individual taxpayers and on our ability to make investments. And we still haven't seen that play out in the next biennial budget. So policymakers still haven't put forward what their plan is and how they will have to cut to make up for the fact that we have $1 billion less already as a result of the 2013 tax changes.
Well, and let's talk for another minute about those. I mean, tax day is coming up very soon. Folks have to have their state and federal taxes filed by April 15th. And we continue to hear stories about people who are realizing that maybe the tax cuts promised in the 2013 legislation aren't really coming true, especially for seniors and other people. Tell us about that.
Well, it's not surprising given what we know about the tax changes that were enacted. There were clearly going to be winners and losers, and certainly we know that the majority of those who were carrying a heavier tax load as a result of the tax plan are folks who are earning less than $84,000 a year. Those are the folks who, on average, have seen their taxes go up. That's because the income tax became a flat, lower rate Many credits and deductions went away. Seniors have been particularly impacted by the loss of the medical expense deduction. Working families have been particularly impacted by the loss of a tax credit for working families who earn low wages. The impact on individuals has been very real, all at the same time that the wealthiest taxpayers in our state have seen the largest benefit from the tax cut, as well as profitable corporations.
You mentioned the tax credit for low-wage workers and their families. You're speaking of the earned income tax credit. I know there was recently a forum with the Federal Reserve was here. There's been a bills introduced in the General Assembly, although the EITC was taken out of a bill that had a lot of other tax credits in it. How important is it that lawmakers restore the earned income tax credit?
Well, it's critical. Our tax code is upside down. It asks more from middle and low income folks, much more than it does from those at the very top of the income distribution. And because policymakers are grappling with how to close their revenue shortfall, their self-inflicted revenue shortfall, they are looking to things like the sales tax. And as they do that, that makes restoring a state earned income tax credit even more important. We know that the sales tax will be paid for mostly by low and middle income taxpayers, and so having in place a tax credit that offsets the total taxes paid by working families is critical. So it really is an important tool for addressing one of the very real problems with our current tax code.
Finally, before I let you go, to come full circle, to talk about the status of the budget. Soon the House will unveil its budget, and we're already hearing people say, we wish we could do more for teachers or public schools or health and human services, but we just don't have the money. But as you just mentioned, the reason they don't have the money, it's sort of a self-inflicted wound.
That's absolutely true. I mean, North Carolina is absolutely not broke. There is the money here in our state to make sure that we can support quality classrooms for every child, that we can make sure that public health is promoted, that all of our public service needs are met, and the most damaging cuts that were made during the Great Recession can be replaced. The economy is in recovery mode. We are now 7 years past the start of the Great Recession, and really at this point should be seeing reinvestment happening. Many folks at the top have seen their incomes grown. Again, profitable corporations are doing quite well. The money is there. We need the will to make that commitment together to rebuild and to ensure that opportunity is available to everyone in the state.
Well, let's hope they follow that advice. We, as always, appreciate what you're doing, and thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Up next, the latest on proposals to change the way cities across the state get revenue to provide their services. Stay with us.